Islamic beliefs. In our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers, welcome to another episode of our program, Our Islamic Beliefs. And inshallah, in this episode, we'll be hearing about a very important topic. Many people are confused nowadays regarding this topic. A lot of false information is given regarding this topic. Inshallah, by the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer picture about the concept that I will describe today, inshallah. Now, the concept is known as bid'ah, innovation. This word is used a lot by people. Some people, it's as if this is the only word in their vocabulary, and they declare everything as bid'ah, and they give a negative connotation to this word. First of all, bid'ah, what is it? It means a new thing which didn't exist previously, an innovation. And in the deen, obviously, when we speak about it shara'an, we have to understand the types of bid'ah. And these types of bid'ah, the division of bid'ah, has been done by the ulama themselves from the early ages, right? From Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So our ulama say bid'ah is of two types, bid'ah hasana and bid'ah sayya. There are those things which, although they didn't bi'aynihi, meaning 100% exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the basis existed, the asal is there. And then bid'ah sayya, this is something which has been innovated and it directly opposes the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas the bid'ah hasana, the good innovation, that doesn't oppose the sunnah. In fact, it supports the sunnah. So, first of all, it's important to understand the types of bid'ah, which we have explained, bid'ah hasana, bid'ah sayya. Now, bid'ah hasana, as we heard, it doesn't oppose the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any aspect of the deen. And it has been innovated, actually brought in after the era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And bid'ah sayya is the opposite. It goes directly against the sunnah. It opposes the sunnah. It tries to eradicate the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you've already understood that bid'ah hasana is a good innovation. Inshallah, you'll get reward for acting upon it. And bid'ah sayya is madhmum. It's reprehensible, condemnable, and a person is sinful for it as well. Now, the person who innovates it at the beginning, the first person, he'll have the sin of all those who act upon that bad innovation. And similarly, the one who innovates a good act in Islam, which doesn't go against Quran, Hadith, the Sunnah, and people act upon that, the person who initiated that good act, that good innovation, he'll receive the reward of all those who act upon it. And this is from the Hadith as well. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasanatan fa'umila biha ba'dahu, kutiba lahu mithlu ajri man amila biha wa la yanqusu min ujurihim shay'un." That whoever initiates a good practice in Islam and then it's acted upon after him, after initiated it, he will receive the reward equivalent to those, all those who acted upon it. And their reward will not be reduced. They'll be rewarded fully and he'll also be rewarded in full as well for all those people who acted upon it, subhanAllah. And the hadith continues. First of all, speaks about a good practice, a good innovation. And now look, وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فَعُمِلَ بِهَا بَعْدَهُ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلُ وِزْرِ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا وَلَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شَيْءٌ. That whoever innovates or whoever begins a bad practice in Islam that is acted upon after it's been initiated, then the sin, the burden of sin of all those people will be on the person who initiated that act, that bad act. And their sin won't be lessened as well. They'll receive the sin in full as well. Now, this detail to the bad innovation. There are some bad innovations that fall into the category of haram, some fall into the category of makruh, and similarly with bid'ah hasana. There are some bid'ahs that are wajib, They're at that level. They have to be initiated. There are some which are mustahab, rewardable. Some are mubah, permissible. So this hadith clearly tells us that we've just heard that hearing that something is a bid'ah doesn't mean necessarily straight away that it's impermissible. Some people have this concept that every bid'ah is haram. But this hadith tells us there are good innovations, there are bad innovations as well. So this concept should be clear. And once you study the detail of that bid'ah, and obviously you yourself or us as members of the public, we haven't got that right to categorize things into a bad bid'ah, good bid'ah. We have to consult with the ulama. We have to ask them that this is happening. Is it allowed in Islam? Is it not allowed? And they will guide you, inshallah. Now, bid'ah hasana, if you just look at the amount of things that we are involved in today as a whole, as an ummah, that fall into this category, then nobody would say that every bid'ah is haram. Although they've heard a hadith that kullu bid'atin dalal wa kullu dalalatin finnar, that every bid'ah is misguidance and every misguidance is in the hellfire. But they fail to realize that that hadith, correct in wording, but the ma'na is that every bad bid'ah is in the hellfire. Every bad bid'ah is misguidance and every misguidance is in the hellfire. So it's conditional upon that bid'ah being evil and bad. So let's just look at some of the bid'ah, good innovations that we're all a part of, we're all involved in, we're all endorse, and then this will give you a clear picture. So first of all, we all read Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Now, we have ease of access. We go to our shelf, our drawer, book drawer, we take out Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we kiss it, we place it on our eyes, we open it. First para, second para, all the way to 30th para. We know where the different surah are, the surahs of the Quran. But this didn't exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning in one book form. This occurred later, after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when many Sahaba were martyred in a particular battle. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala was the Khalifa, and Sahaba expressed that if this continues, we keep losing those Sahaba who are huffaz, memorizers of the Quran, how will the Quran be preserved? We know that the Quran is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine speech of Allah. I mean, nobody can ever change it. Nobody can ever add to it. You know, but this book form, this was a very good act that was initiated. So, you know, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu agreed with Kibar Sahaba that this is a good act. So the compilation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem began. Initially, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Umar, you're asking me to do something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did." Sayyidina Umar said, "Yes, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam never did it. Lekin, however, this act that I'm telling you about is a very great act. It will lead to much goodness. It's a good innovation." Alhamdulillah, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu realized what Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was saying. And then this compilation began. Think about it. Today, billions of Muslims have Al-Quran Al-Kareem in their homes, have a copy of the Quran. Since that time, since the compilation, everyone who is reading Quran in the book form, the reward is going to whom? Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. These are the people who initiated it, subhanallah. And we'll be rewarded as well. So these are things that we cannot do without. Say to people who are quick to accuse others of doing bid'ah, bad innovation, say to them, stop reading Al-Quran Al-Kareem in book form, because this is a bid'ah as well. This is a bid'ah hasana. It's a good innovation. It didn't exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba were agreed upon compiling it. And what did Sayyidina Uthman do, radiallahu anhu, when he saw that there are variations of Al-Quran Al-Kareem in terms of the language? There is ikhtilafat in those variations. And he ordered for it to be according to one language of the Quraysh. And he had it compiled according to the lugha of the Quraysh, language of the Quraysh. And now you will find this particular version else everywhere. So it's clear that the compilation of the Quran is a bid'ah hasana, not a bid'ah sayya. Nobody can dare say that. So not everything that did not exist in the time of the Prophet ﷺ is bid'ah sayya. There are also good innovations that we cannot do without. We cannot do without the copies of the Quran today. These aid us in studying, in understanding, in reading, in memorizing Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Similarly, the Quran initially didn't have diacritical marks on it and didn't have dots on it. It was difficult to for non-Arab or people who did not understand the dialect of the Quraysh to understand it. But a tyrant ruler, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, when he came into power, this wasn't an act that was initiated in the time of the Khulafa-i Rashidun, but Hajjaj bin Yusuf felt there was a need, meaning the Quran will continue to spread to all lands. People don't understand Arabic as their first language, so it will be difficult for them to read the Quran. So then the diacritical marks, the dots were placed on Al-Quran Al-Kareem that we see today, and these provide much ease for the readers as well. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he initiated that. Who will say that this was a bad innovation? Nobody. It wasn't done in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, wasn't done in the time of the Sahaba, meaning the Khulafa-i Rashidun. It was done when Hajjaj bin Yusuf was the leader. But tell somebody today to read it without the diacritical marks, without the nuqta, without the dots. If someone does not know the Arabic language, grammar, sarf and nahw, he won't be able to read. So we accept these things. Nobody complains there. When you speak about Milad, when you speak about Isali al-Thawab, when you speak about other things, oh, it's a bid'ah, it's wrong. They don't even understand bid'ah. How every day they're doing things that involve bid'ah, but which type of bid'ah? Bid'ah hasana. So you have to agree that there are two types of bid'ah hasana and bid'ah sayyi'ah as well. Moving on, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was Khalifa of the Muslims, he saw that the believers were reading Tarawih prayer individually. So he consulted with the Sahaba at the time and he said, why don't we have one Jama'at? How good would it be? We have one Jama'at, one Qari leading the Muqtadis, the congregants, in Tarawih prayer. And we know that this only occurred for a few days in the time of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then after that, the Prophet alaihi wasallam didn't continue upon this practice. There was no muwadhaba continuation. Why? So that this prayer does not become fard upon the believers, if they would fall into hardship. So the Sahaba sat in the time of the second Caliph, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And remember, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has spent 2 years as Khalifa. He's passed away now, but there was no Jama'at of Tarawih then as well. No continuation of Jama'at in the time of the Prophet alayhi salam, lest it becomes fard, meaning the prayer becomes fard, not sunnah. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu also continued that, meaning everybody read individually. Sayyidina Umar, he felt it was a good thing to gather the people in Tarawih prayer, read it in Jama'at. And today across the world, Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinatul Munawwara, throughout the Muslim world, it's read in Jama'at. And what did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say when he saw the Muslims praying Tarawih in Jama'at? How good an innovation is this? How good of an act is this? It's a new act, but it's good. It's gathering the Muslims. People will attend Jama'at. This will ensure they perform their Tarawih prayers as well. So today when we perform Tarawih, know that the reward of all those Tarawih congregations across the globe every year go to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Our reward is also written, but Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, who initiated that good practice, will also receive the reward, subhanallah. So these things, they took place after the era of the Prophet alayhi salam, the compilation of the Quran, Tarawih in Jama'at. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu added the adhan before the khutbah, the sermon on the day of Jumu'ah. This adhan wasn't there. Initially, this adhan wasn't there. It was just the first adhan for Jumu'ah. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu saw a need in his time to add another adhan at the time of Jumu'ah. So there was already adhan before the khutbah, which takes place today as well. This was present in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the era of Sayyidina Uthman, people were sust, lazy in coming towards Jumu'ah. So he included another adhan before the adhan of khutbah, way before that, so that people can make preparations for the Jumu'ah prayer. So this takes place everywhere, all the masajid. And people don't complain there. They don't say, why this bid'ah? This is a bid'ah hasana. This is a good innovation. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is rewarded. He started a good practice. And it's a good practice. That's why Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu actually included it as well. So the Sahaba understood this topic more than we could ever understand it. Bid'ah. They knew there were good types of bid'ah. There were bad types of bid'ah as well. Not only bad types. We can't put all of these into one category and say every bid'ah is bad. It's in the hellfire. Then what are you going to say about Tarawih in Jama'at? What are you going to say about the diacritical marks on Al-Quran? What are you going to say about the compilation of the Quran? What are you going to say about the Adhan Thani, the second Adhan on Jumu'ah, before the khutbah? you do it. Everyone does it. So we have to be very careful. We have to understand the deen and then speak. And there's so many other examples that can be given. The mihrab, this was initiated afterwards, a good practice. Masajid, the way the masajid are built today, they weren't built like that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. There were no minarets as such, the way they are today. There were no Dini Madaris, Islamic institutes like there are today. Jami'at, Darul Uloom, yearly examinations, Dawratul Hadith, the Ikhtitam of Bukhari Sharif, Iftitah of a Masjid. These events didn't take place, but today everyone's agreed upon them. Why? Because they're good practices. They help the Muslim Ummah, they help Muslims. Similarly, these different dates for conveying reward to the deceased, the 4th, the 40th, yearly khatams, these are all for the ease of Muslims so that they can gather together and convey rewards to their loved ones. Otherwise, people have so many busy schedules. One person might be free on one day, the other person is free on another day. So this way, they know that on the 4th day, we can all gather. On the 40th day, I'll make sure I'm free. So people start confusing others, where these days come from. Remember, these specifications and appointments of days, this is something called ta'yin urfi, that according to the customs, the prevailing customs of the time, people specify certain things, make it easy for the Muslims. Otherwise, the concept of conveying rewards, this is proven from the Quran. رَبَّنَ خَفِلْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ This is a dalil for Isal al-Thawab. Now Allah forgive us and those brothers of ours who passed before us. You're making dua for them. But people confuse others. Oh, why do you do khatams? Why do you do this? And then they attack the concept, the exact concept of Isal al-Thawab. And this shouldn't be the case. People need to understand what they can say, what they can't say, what results in them considering something lawful, unlawful. This is a big problem in the Ummah. We're quick to place a fatwa on someone, or you're doing haram, you're doing wrong. Similarly, Miladun Nabi. The asal is there in the deen. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned his own fadail, kamalat. The Sahaba praised the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba fed people. The Sahaba spoke about the ni'mah, which is the arrival of Rasulullah ﷺ, how they praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are mentioned in hadith. So someone who continues these actions according to the time, meaning he gathers people in the masjid, praises the Prophet ﷺ, mentions the seerah, the mu'jizat at the time of the birth, feeds people, these are fine. These are all acts that will lead to reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the basis, the asl is there. So this topic is very lengthy. Thousands and thousands of things fall into the category of bid'ah hasana, and other things fall into the category of bid'ah sayyah, which we haven't covered in detail. But here in this episode, we wanted to clarify that there are two types. And there are so many bid'ah hasana which we are all involved in today. Reading Quran with diacritical marks, the adhan of Jumu'ah, which wasn't there at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Uthman introduced it. Compilation of the Quran in book form. Great, great innovations that will no doubt lead to great reward for those who initiated them. We must understand these things. We are not to do blanket takfir of people, ma'adallah. So everyone's a disbeliever for doing this or doing that. You fall into shirk, you fall into polytheism. These are dangerous words. People need to understand the deen, learn the deen, act upon the deen. We take our deen from the ulama, who have a chain, a golden chain going back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have authentic knowledge of the deen. We don't just take our deen from social media or any ordinary person. This is the danger of the time. People spend too much time on social media and they take the deen from there as well, not knowing the background of the speaker. Is he even somebody who has knowledge which is in line and in accordance to the 1400 years of Islamic teaching? Or is he a deviant person? Is he trying to sow discord? What is the case? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to understand the deen, how it ought to be understood. May Allah ta'ala grant us fahmul deen, understanding of the deen. And may Allah ta'ala in particular grant us understanding of this topic of bid'ah and how there are types of bid'ah. And once we know that, inshallah ta'ala, we can live a life wherein we know that this is right, even though it didn't occur at the time of the Prophet alayhi salam, this is wrong and has no basis in the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to rectify our a'mal, our aqeedah, and keep it in line with the teachings of Islam and Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Ameen. Bijahi Khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we